Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. So glad you're all joining us today. It was a beautiful day in Tampa Bay, and it's kind of got a little rainy here, but that's typical of late afternoon in Florida in the summer. So we always look forward to those rains, kind of help us cool down a little bit. We have had an amazing day at Beacon of Hope, and if you're in the Tampa Bay area and don't already have a church home, we invite you to Beacon of Hope, and we are in Clearwater, very near the intersection of Drew and 19. So we welcome you. Go to our website, which is easy to remember, BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. BOHMglobal.com is our website. Gives you directions to the church, which is very close to Drew and 19. Just kind of behind the Toyota dealership there at that intersection. So we welcome you. Sunday morning is at 10:30, and Wednesday night we have Bible study interactive, 7 o'clock. A lot of people come straight from work and bring their dinner, and we have tables set up in the Bible study room, and so you can come and it's casual and interact with us on Wednesday nights at 7. We actually have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 5:30 now, so there's a lot going on around Beacon of Hope. And of course, this show every week live on the air with you, and we're always thrilled to be able to share the Word of God with you. Nathan, are you on with me?
Yes, I am.
There you are. You are amazing, aren't you? You know why I say that. Boy, have we ever had a busy day, and we just came from our nursing home ministry, and you hightailed it home and to get on the air, and I ran through McDonald's quickly and to get a little tiny bite to eat, and here we are ready to go for this show, and so excited. Don't you love sharing the Word of God every week on the air, Nathan?
Yes, I do. I seriously do. It's such a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Such a blessing. And it's just, it's amazing. We've had quite a day, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Always have an anointed wild service at Beacon of Hope. And I don't even know how to describe wild, because every Sunday is different. We just let the Holy Spirit lead. We had some great music today. Absolutely wonderful songs. I tell you, that one, I See the Lord, that's an amazing song, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
It's from Isaiah chapter 6, and there were so many today that were just wonderful. Healing for people at the end of the service, and we believe that a lot took place, and we know it did. We had evidence of that with some. So, you know, God is so good, Nathan. And then we go to the nursing home ministry, and wasn't that wild today with all of our friends at Palm Garden? Palm Garden Clearwater, yeah. Wasn't it? The room was full of people. They're in their wheelchairs. Sometimes they bring a family member, but it's amazing. That little group there at Palm Garden, they are able to really sing, don't they?
Yes, they are.
They interact, and it's just so cool. And one of them sitting right there beside you as you played the keyboard was Mary. That's 105.
Mm-hmm.
Was that wild? And she's singing the songs and clapping her hands. And I tell you, I want to be like Mary at 105, still really praising God. And, you know, wow, such a blessing. So it's been a great day already, and we're so looking forward to this show. And what God is going to do today in lives and hearts. And, you know, he's just been doing so much, Nathan. He gets the glory and the praise. I just sit in awe of what he is doing. Lives are being turned around. People are getting a renewed desire for God. They're coming out of the depression of their circumstances and their past, and they are reaching out to Jesus as the author and finisher of their faith. I don't know about you, but how much better can it get than that?
Not much.
Oh, wow. Nathan, tell us about your desire to minister, because you, like me, grew up as a pastor's kid, and you were in church forever, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Were you playing the keyboard at that early age? At five? Actually, wasn't it five when you asked Jesus into your heart?
Yes, I did. And I started playing at five.
You started playing at five. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By ear then also?
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. Your brothers and sisters, do they have that same talent, that God-given talent?
No.
You were the only one of all those kids. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. And you've been a part of our ministry for a long time. I think 03 was the year you guys came for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so it's been many years of ministering the Word of God in song, songs that you write. In fact, today as we were worshiping God, God gave you a new song today even.
Yeah, he seems to do that a lot.
He does.
I praise him for it.
Oh,
I just love it.
Amen. He gets the glory and the praise. A few years ago, I think it was about 06 maybe, in the praise band that we had at that time at Beacon when we had the church over in Tampa instead of where we are now in Clearwater. But there was quite a band there, and you had written an awful lot of songs, which you have. You have no clue how many you have written, have you?
No, I don't.
No, no clue. But some of you out there, you enjoy Nathan's music. You can get his CD on our website, bohmglobal.com. We will send it to you free of charge as a donation to you. We want to plant into your life. Isn't that correct, Nathan? You want to give them away.
Yes, it is.
Tell us about the CD, because we're going to hear song number 10 off of your CD in just a minute.
Well, that in itself was a true miracle because of the music that God gave me.
Right.
I mean, he gave me some of it even in the studio.
Right, right, yeah.
And, you know, the majority of the songs are songs that I've written in church.
Right.
From the Holy Spirit, just come on me in during the service, and there it was.
There it was.
Words and music.
Words and music.
Simultaneously.
And you did record this in a professional studio, however, and some of us were singing backup with you, et cetera. it's been a lot of years since all that happened. But, you know, we have these CDs, and we have several of them at Beacon. If you come and visit for church, we'll give you one. If you'd like one, you can write me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com, with your address, and we'll see that you get one. So, Nathan, we're going to do cut number 10. I will bless the Lord. Ready to hear yourself sing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
God is so good. When I think about the goodness of the Lord, my soul wants to take flight. And I lift my voice in song to him, to praise with all my might. I shall bless the Lord at all the times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all the times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all the times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lord, I lift you up, and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, I lift you up, and I bless your holy name. Your praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lord, I lift you up, and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, I lift you up, and I bless your holy name. Your praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth.
I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times.
Whoa. All right. I still love that song. And that comes from Psalm 34. The first two lines of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I love those verses right there. And that song, that is just a great one. Really good. You're singing harmony with yourself on that one, aren't you?
Yes.
And that's a studio trick. And we won't tell you how that's done. But anyway, it's exciting. You know, we've been talking today, Nathan, about the goodness of the Lord and how much he loves us. And we're going to start in Luke 6, where we were this morning. We're going to go back there. And we're going to start with a few verses here, starting at about verse 17. Coming down off the mountain with them, this is about Jesus, he stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. I just love that right there. They wanted to hear the word of God, Nathan. What can we do, you know, in this generation, in this day and time, to cause there to be a desire for the word of God in people? It's something I pray about all the time. Lord, give our people a desire for the word of God like never before. Talk to me about that.
Well, the word of God, well, the word tells us that faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And that's how we increase our faith.
Yes.
I mean, by listening to the word of God, listening to God talk to us.
Right.
About who he is and who we are to him.
Right.
And as we listen, we are encouraged and our faith level rises.
That's exactly right. But so often people are too busy, don't you think, Nathan? They have busy lives, busy schedules, or, you know, I think so often the devil just puts all kinds of distractions in our paths to keep us from getting in the Word. Don't you think that's the case?
Oh, I know that's the case.
Okay, yeah. Distractions, yep.
People live their lives second by second.
Right.
You know, nowadays, you know, every second is filled with some kind of distraction.
Right, right.
You know, something that we need to do or we would rather do than be in the Word of God.
Well, and as much as I love my smartphone and need it for business, etc., it can be something that is almost like a noose around your neck, you know, checking it or being very available all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God wants us to put him as the number one priority in our lives. And Nathan, I think this is so hard for people in this day and age of technology and entertainment to put time aside, to sit down with God and to say, God, I'm right here. You have my full attention. Talk to me, and I want to talk to you. Don't you think this is so vitally important? And don't you think people are not doing this enough in general?
Yes, I do. It takes time.
Yes, it does.
To listen to the Lord.
Right.
And to talk to him. And he's really interested. He's interested in the smallest details. You know.
It's so true. The smallest detail of our lives, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And so often, go ahead.
And he cares about every detail of our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
But don't you think so often we get caught up in the busyness of the day and we get to late afternoon and we go, oh, wow, I haven't really talked to God much.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just the opposite of the way it should be in our lives. He should be leading us and guiding us all day long, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Starting first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning. You know, it's a good habit to get into, to when you open your eyes, say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. And, oh, God, I love you. I mean, he loves to hear how much we love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we love to hear how much he loves us.
Oh, we do, don't we? And he'll tell us that.
And he tells us. Yes, he does.
Yes.
And he shows us.
Oh. And I, you know, just by the simple ministry that we have at the nursing home, it is such a joy to be able to reach out to those people month after month. We go the first Sunday of every month to Palm Garden Clearwater, and we are there ministering in songs that they're familiar with, letting them know that God loves them so very much.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing. I look forward to it every month.
I do too. How do you feel?
Because the goal is to bring them back to a realization that God is right there with them every moment of all that they're going through, you know? Well, I love this verse in Luke 6, about verse 18 or 19. The people would come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. And I think, Nathan, there is a widespread generality, let's just make it very general, across churches in America where people come because they know it's the right thing to do to go to church or whatever, or they want their kids to grow up in church, but they don't come expecting a miracle. You know what I'm saying?
No. Well, it's not preached.
Right. That's true.
Because there's a lot of churches that believe their miracles stopped when Jesus left this earth.
That's exactly right. That's right.
And
that's not true.
No,
they didn't. Oh, you know, even Jesus himself, his final words before being caught up on the day of ascension as he went up into heaven 40 days after the resurrection, he said, you know, go ye into all the world and preach, teach the gospel, you know, and lay hands on the sick
and
baptize.
They shall recover.
They shall recover. Yes. Yes. He did not say, oh, don't you dare go pray for anybody sick now, people, because that's going to end as soon as I go up into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does not have any cancer, any illness, any tuberculosis, that's an old disease, but anything. God does not have sickness in heaven. God does not give sickness to people. Okay?
No, he doesn't.
It's our environment. It's our heredity. It is also the work of the devil. The devil is the one who puts sickness and disease on us.
And he convinces us.
Yeah, and you know, we can let our guard down and just invite it. I've heard people say, oh, well, this bad weather, I'm going to get a cold, I'm going to be sick, I just know I'm going to get the flu. Really?
Oh, yeah?
Stop agreeing with it. You and I know, we just definitely stayed, oh, no, we're not getting that. We're not getting that, no. So, we're going to talk about that on the show today, just about how important it is that we get in line with what the Word of God says about us, because we're all in a battle. Every one of us, every day, the devil is out to take your peace, he's out to take your joy, and he's out to take your health, people.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to suffer. He wants you to be sick. If you're sick in bed and you can't get out and work, then what happens to your finances? If you're sick in bed and that's all you can ever talk about is how bad you are or how sick you are, people really don't want to be around that very long, do they?
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Well, I love this sentence. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. Praise God.
Isn't it interesting that they first came to hear him?
Yes. Yes.
Because you know what was happening when they were listening, when they were hearing him? Their faith was rising.
Right. Right.
And so they had faith to believe for a miracle.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Woo. And those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Because that is a real ministry that's called deliverance ministry. We do that at Beacon of Hope, too. There are some people that are troubled by evil spirits of some kind, whatever, and we can take care of that. Everyone was trying to touch him, and as much energy surging from him, so much energy, so many people healed. And then he speaks and he says some very profound things in Luke 6 and about verse, I don't know, maybe 20. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding.
Amen.
Oh, my. Don't you think that that goes against everything that most people believe about being blessed?
Oh, well, there's so many people that are blessed that don't know God.
Right.
And they have so much.
Right.
They don't need anything, they feel.
Right, right.
And so, therefore, they don't seek God.
Right. Yeah. Well, but Jesus says here, you're blessed when you've lost it all.
Yeah.
I mean, well, really. That's,
when the market crashes.
Right. Yeah. That happened to me. You know, that's for sure.
The bank account is empty.
Right. Well, yeah. And God's kingdom is there for the finding. We know in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It says there, Paul wrote these words, the kingdom of God is righteousness. That's being in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Peace. And joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. That's what you find when you get to the end of your rope.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to allow God to minister to you, you find real, true, right standing with God, peace, and joy. Mm-hmm. And you find God when you're at the end of your rope.
Even in the midst of your circumstances.
Woo! In the midst of your circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I love the next one. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Mm-hmm. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. That messianic is talking about the Messiah, Jesus. Mm-hmm. In fact, he said he was the bread of life. And when we are really hungry, and it says in Matthew that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall
be filled. Amen.
And Nathan, I think there's so many people that are missing out on so many blessings because they're not hungering after God. They don't want to spend time. They don't want to see their need for God. You know, I love David. I wrote it on the board Wednesday night. David's words in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and try my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. You know, I think a lot of times people run from the searchlight of God's presence because they don't want to have to deal with bad attitudes and a lack of desire for God. And we're told right here, you're blessed when you are ravenously hungry. Talk to me about that. Woo!
Well, that's like you're starving. And there are so many people that are starving.
Yes, they are.
And they don't realize that in their position that they're in, that they are blessed.
Yes.
Because that causes them to seek.
Oh.
To seek to be filled.
Yes.
To seek to be fed.
Right.
And, you know, we can tell them where the table is.
Right. Yeah, isn't that true? Yeah.
You know, where you want to be fed, you want to be, you know, consider you get this hunger taken care of. By coming to Jesus Christ.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, coming to Jesus Christ and coming and getting into the Word and getting into a good gospel preaching church.
Amen.
Full gospel preaching church.
And the full gospel, by that we mean we still believe in the power of God to heal today. We see healings
Amen.
All the time.
Yes,
we still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you up and cause you to desire Him. Some of you out there may be saying, you know what? I just don't need God that much. I'm okay. I get through the day. I get through my life. I'm fine. And God is saying to us, wait a minute, honey. You need to desire God more than you do a big old meal, big old Big Mac from McDonald's, which is one of my favorite foods that I don't let myself eat but about once a year. But, you know, I love that Big Mac sandwich, you know. And we need to be loving the Word of God and our relationship with God more than our natural food, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, Jesus says it right here. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for that messianic meal, which is for God to give you the Word of God and fill you up with His presence. I love the next one. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Talk to me about tears.
Tears are healing.
Oh, boy, they are.
I mean, because there are so many people, when you're really aching inside, when you're really hurting inside, you know, one of the way to release that pressure in your chest or that pain in your gut is to cry.
It's to cry. And it's okay to cry, isn't it?
It's okay to cry.
It's not a sign of weakness.
No, it's not.
I just love that Jesus said, you're blessed when the tears flow freely. I know that some people get embarrassed to cry, you know? And, you know, they think, oh, well, that makes me look weak. No, it makes you look strong. You know, this is what people don't understand. Paul said, in my weakness, God's strength is perfected, right?
That's right.
So you let the tears flow freely. And, you know, grieving, there is a part of grieving where you just need to cry. You know, you just need to let that pain out, don't you think?
That's right.
Wow.
Exactly.
I love what David said in Psalm 30, verse 5, that weeping lasts for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. There are night times in our lives, aren't they, Nathan?
Many.
You know, describe that. Many. Maybe our people don't understand what we mean by night times in our life.
Well, there are times in our lives when circumstances happen that bring us down.
Right.
That make us sad.
Yeah.
That make us depressed.
We get depressed.
Those are night times in our lives.
Yeah. Or maybe you've lost a loved one recently, or some of you may have lost a job or a relationship or something, a friendship. And there are times that we just grieve. We are sad, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love the fact that Jesus says, you're blessed when the tears flow freely. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, don't you dare cry. You know how some parents, in particular probably some dads, try to make tough little boys, you know, or tough kids that don't cry. Nathan, because, and I know you probably did too, growing up in the ministry, I saw my dad cry as he preached. I cry sometimes when I'm preaching. When something just hits me, I just feel that compassion or whatever. It's not a sign of weakness, is it not?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Many times it's a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Woo. Absolutely. It is.
Sometimes when God is dealing with us, we cry.
Yes.
You know, and
joy comes in the morning.
Joy.
I mean, a lot of times after that, someone came up this morning for prayer, and there was such grieving because she had just lost her brother a few days ago. And as we prayed for her, it's that she allowed herself to grieve and to cry, and then we declared that very scripture over her. Weeping may last through the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And, oh my, there was a transformation. Wasn't
there?
There
was more than a shout, I'm telling you.
Woo.
Yeah, she really gave.
She did. And there was just a release of that, laying that grief down and just moving into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes, it is.
You know, Nathan, there are so many times that we have opportunities to be sad and lonely and depressed because life throws curveballs our way.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do in those times?
In those times, we need to rejoice.
Amen.
Because I believe when God allows us to go through something like that, it's one of his ways of perfecting us.
Amen.
Of refining us.
Yes.
It's that refining fire.
Yes. We're going to talk about that in 1 Peter after a while.
It reveals something in our nature that maybe we don't know is there. And all of a sudden we realize, oh, God, I've got to get rid of this.
Well, and that's absolutely. And that's precisely why we need to every day come before God and say, Lord, search my heart. Show me if there's something today you want to work on in me. I'm willing to allow your Holy Spirit to show me or teach me what I need to learn, you know? You know, we're not perfect. We get saved, but that is not perfection.
No, it's not.
I like the bumper sticker I've seen different places. What is it? Not perfect, just forgiven, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, Nathan, that people get so caught up into believing that they are always right or mm-hmm. that they have to be right. And so often, God is wanting to show us something through circumstances that we're going through, to show us how we can better react the next time, or how we can be more like Jesus the next time, you know?
Exactly. Or to teach us to really, truly depend on Him.
That's it.
Because sometimes people think, I can do it my way.
Right, exactly.
I'm strong enough to climb this mountain.
Oh, I know. But we're really not. We just really aren't. But I love this. He just says we're blessed when the tears flow freely. If some of you out there listening today are relating to this and thinking, wow, I have been crying a lot about this or that, don't beat yourself up for that.
No, don't do it. Don't you dare do it.
No, just let that process happen and then claim the joy of God. Joy comes in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 30, verse 5 is the verse we quoted a minute ago. Go ahead.
Well, the thing of it is, when the tears are flowing like that, we should be grateful for the blessing. Be grateful that God said, blessed are those whose tears flow freely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're blessed. You're blessed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't feel like you're blessed sometimes. It feels like you're cursed.
Yeah.
Or it feels like you're getting beat up.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But you're blessed.
You are blessed. And if we go down in verse 22 of Luke 6, count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. Boy, that's a huge sentence right there,
mm-hmm,
Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
Take that and run with it, brother.
Well, sometimes people look at you and they say, oh, you're a Christian, huh? And they put you down.
Right.
Like, you're really a weak person. I don't need anybody. You need God.
Right.
I mean, there may not be a God, you know.
Right.
I mean, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you say, share with them, God bless you. You know, I don't need a blessing from God.
Right.
And I especially don't need you to do it. You know,
right.
To tell
right.
me that.
There are those people out there that say those very things.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus said, count yourself blessed when that happens, when somebody mm-hmm. does not appreciate who you are and what you have to say or what you stand for. Or maybe you offer to pray for someone and they say, I don't need your prayer. You know, mm-hmm. I have had that happen. Have you had that happen?
Well, probably, but I can't remember when.
Yeah, I've had it happen. You know, and somebody was kind of came back at me like, really? No, I don't need that. You know, mm-hmm. this has been a long time ago. But, you know, it's interesting here that Jesus says when that happens, when you're persecuted.
When?
Yeah, because
He knows it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We live in this fallen world with people all around who have differing opinions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody doesn't want to hear what you have to say about how God has blessed you or mm-hmm. how God has answered your prayer or maybe how God has healed your body. And there are times that we get ourselves in situations and we want to talk about our healing or we want to talk about the answer to prayer or the way God mm-hmm. provided financially. And somebody gives you that bad with our dogs snake eye or whatever you want to call it every once in a while one of my dogs will look up and give me that stink eye like really I'm not going to obey you.
No,
yes, of course, you know that.
Not Zoe, not yes. No, not Bailey.
Yes,
oh my goodness,
as sweet and innocent as they are, there are times I get stink eye from them.
Well, it seems like they're always on their best behavior when we're over there.
That's good because they've been threatened with a timeout, which we'll talk more about that later. They are actually learning the word timeout. But it's interesting here that Jesus says, count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every mm-hmm. time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. I love the way the Message Bible puts that. Talk to me about that, Nathan.
Well, some people are uncomfortable.
Yeah, they are.
In a Christian setting, you know, there are some people that have come to our church that were very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And they haven't been back.
Right. That's true. You know, that's true. And we want people to be comfortable.
Because they didn't hear the gospel, so they did hear the gospel. Yes, we want people to be comfortable, but we can't compromise who we are in Christ just for their comfort.
That's exactly right. In fact, as we were kind of leaving the church today, a bunch of people were out in the Bible study room, and they were saying, wouldn't it be amazing if everybody that's ever been a part of Beacon or come were at a service?
Right.
I mean, the numbers, the hundreds and hundreds of people. And
oh my goodness,
you think about that, but some people, it's like the parable that Jesus told of the seed. Some people don't receive it. Some people, if the word falls on stony ground, it doesn't bear fruit. Some people are just, they just don't care. They don't want it. They don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead with that.
Yeah, well, sometimes the heart's just not prepared to receive the truth.
Right.
People come, and they're looking to be entertained.
Right. Yes.
Or are looking for an escape.
Right.
From their reality.
Right.
For a little while.
Right.
But they're not really ready to receive the word or receive the truth or receive Christ.
Well, when Jesus walked this earth and taught, just like right here, this portion of scripture in Luke 6, Jesus is teaching, and he says, count yourself blessed if you've been persecuted, people don't understand you, people have a hard time with you, count yourself blessed. And I mean, the average person listening to that little sermon was probably going, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You mean I'm going to be persecuted because I'm a Christian? Maybe I don't want to be a Christian.
Exactly. But don't you think it does happen? I know it does.
Oh, yeah. And in our world today, it's happening more and more.
Yeah.
It's happening more and
but
more.
But I love
it's
these.
It's happening here in the United States.
Oh, all the time. It says, what it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even though they don't like it, I do. So,
amen.
So Jesus is saying, you know what? We kind of up in heaven have a little party, because when you go on and read this in Luke 6, about verse 22 or 3, he says, all heaven applauds and know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. Talk to me about that, Nathan. All the prophets before have been treated like this?
Old Testament prophets.
Oh, yeah.
Even, you know, some of them were killed.
Yes. Yes, they were.
You know?
Yeah.
Exiled.
Right.
You know, New Testament prophets. You know?
Right.
I mean, people that they just didn't want to see the truth.
Exactly.
And the truth, even though the truth could make them free, they wanted to remain in the bondage they were in.
Oh, exactly.
Because that was familiar.
That's it. That's what happens. Don't you think, Nathan? So many people get stuck in what is comfortable for them, and they don't want to come out of their comfort zone and start reading their Bible and start living what the Word of God says.
Exactly.
Jesus ran into this when he was here on this earth and had his public ministry. He had so much trouble with people not wanting to accept the strong message that he was bringing.
Oh, yeah. Many people turned away from him sometimes.
All the time. But I love this, that Jesus says, you know what? When that happens and people get uncomfortable and, you know, that they persecute you, they talk bad about you, or they undermine you or put you down or make fun of you behind your back, he says, all heaven applauds. That just cracks me up.
Amen. You know, praise God that we're on that team.
Amen.
You know, you can talk about me all you please. I'll talk about you on my knees.
Woo! Oh, let's do that again. I like that. I don't think I've ever heard that. Go ahead.
Oh, you can talk about me all you please. I'll talk about you on my knees.
All right. In prayer, right?
Amen.
Woo! Praise God. Wow. You know, Nathan, I think this is a new day in the church, at least at Beacon of Hope. It is a day of revival. We've been praying and agreeing. You and I have been agreeing in prayer, Pastor Jim and some of our leaders. We've all been praying and agreeing that this is a new day of revival, time for people to realize their need for God. I want to declare it and proclaim it today over the airwaves that it's not just happening at Beacon of Hope, but it's happening other places around the globe, that people are desiring God. We proclaim it right now by faith
in Jesus' name,
that there is a revival that has already started, where people are desiring God, a relationship with Him, more than they ever have before. This is a new day of desire for God's Word and a desire to be all that God wants us to be, you know?
Yes,
Carol has just joined us. Carol, can you comment on that? Did you hear all that we've been saying? Is she there? She's gone? Whoa. Did we lose her again? We lost her. Okay. All right. But I declare it right now, Nathan. In fact, let's declare it in prayer. Why don't you just lead out and say what you feel led to do on what I just stated, and then I'll join in too in just a minute. Go ahead.
Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can come to you expecting that you would hear us and you would answer.
Amen.
And Lord, we declare that in this world today, there is a revival.
Yes.
That there is a revival fire.
Yes.
That is spread across the globe. That in many places in the world, people are reaching out, seeking you.
Amen.
With more hunger, more thirst after righteousness.
Yes.
More for your word, Father, because they desire you.
Yes.
Because they know there's something more to life than just existing.
Amen.
So we just thank you for this revival, Father. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is falling on people all around the globe, and that they're responding, and that they're reaching out to you, and they're reaching out to each other, and they're drawing others into the body of Christ, because your coming is soon, and we know that your appearing is not that far off.
Praise
God.
So we
just thank you and praise you that we have this revival where many more will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and many more will walk the walk, and not just talk the talk. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you.
We agree on that right now in the name of Jesus. Listen to this song by Mercy Me. It's a great group. Here with me.
I long for your embrace every single day to meet you in this place and see you face to face. Will you show me? Reveal yourself to me because of your mercy. I can feel your presence here.
forgotten about that song. We haven't played it for a while. I can feel your presence here with me. Suddenly, I'm remembering your beauty. Oh, wow. That is such a great song. Carol, are you on the air? We're sorry we had a technical difficulty a minute ago.
Yeah, I was just talking away and realized that nobody was hearing me.
Yeah, I don't know what happens from time to time, but we're glad you're on it today. There's Nathan here with us, too, here.
How you doing, Brother Nathan?
I am doing wonderful. How are you, sister?
I am so good, I can't stand it.
Have you been listening to what we were talking about, Carol, and about counting, counting it a blessing when people don't understand us, when they get upset with us, whatever the case may be, because of what we believe?
Yes, I've lived through that, and it's quite an interesting experience, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
When several years back, and it happens more frequently, too, but several years back, when I would be assaulted that way and lessened by somebody's babbling tongue or whatever, it bothered me a great deal that they would speak that way toward me when I knew that I was speaking the words that Christ had given me to give to other people. And I was very put off by it. I used to question myself. I would sit for long periods of time and speak to God about it. Am I speaking truth? Am I speaking what you want? What am I doing that is offensive to you, oh God? And
right.
He never told me I did anything except, you know, to sit and be patient that He was always in the works.
And,
and now, in my maturity and my age, I have decided that I've always had this phrase in my head, if somebody's talking about me, they're letting somebody else rest.
Right. Yeah.
And I know now that, you know, a prophet in their own hometown isn't worth stinking a toot. So,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, when like the three of us have been in situations that have been uncomfortable.
Sure.
We still know that God's hand is on us.
Amen.
It's not this is not something somebody would walk out and choose, quote, as a profession or an avocation. Because the pain that comes with it can be as hurtful as
really?
Boy, is delightful.
Pain that comes with this job? Yeah, it's true. It is. Yeah.
There is a lot of pain that comes with it because you're trying to do what you know you hear, what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. And yet there are people staring at you that don't even, number one, know that the Holy Spirit will speak to you.
Amen.
And number two, don't think it's real.
Right.
And number two, want to know what you've been drinking or puffing during the day.
Right, exactly. But, you know, I love what Jesus says here, that when all this happens and people don't understand you, when they give you a hard time, when they persecute you, he says that we should skip like a lamb, that we should rejoice. We should, I think it says leap for joy in one translation. For even though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. So we're in good company. We're in company with Elisha, Elijah, David, Samuel. We could go
Jeremiah.
On and on. Jeremiah.
Yeah, the list goes to ad infinitum. But
John the Baptist. The whole gang, you know.
In Matthew 7:22-23, Jesus says that hearing and believing and doing are the things that Jesus taught. I mean, that's what God tells us. And by practicing these things, it's what we do that's going to count on the last day.
Right.
Yeah, I just fear deeply for people who don't know Christ, and their time is drawing nigh. Sometimes it's an expected event, and sometimes it's just a quick event. And I just fear for them that they will meet the devil and know that he's real.
Right.
That he was real in their life when they were living it on earth. And God tried his best to show them how to live, and they refused and thumped their nose at Christ. They don't have time for it. As you were both speaking earlier, people don't have time.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, you know, they tell me, I've heard several times in my life that Jesus was a crutch, you know, Christianity was a crutch for my life.
Oh, really?
I said, and I would tell them, you know what? it's the ambulance for my life.
That sees you through the crisis moments, see, right?
Well, I can't walk with a crutch because I can't walk. My legs are feeble. He's the ambulance. He carries me through life.
That's right, boy.
You know, he always picks us up and carries us if we allow it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we have to know that he will, and we have to know that he does.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Well,
and we have to let him.
We have to let him, yeah. And there's so many times that we get ourselves very discouraged and defeated and down in the dumps. Let's run over to 1 Peter 4, both of you, real quick. And I really never got to amplify on this very much this morning, but I love what it says in the Message Bible right about above verse 12 of 1 Peter 4. It says the phrase, five words, glory just around the corner. And I love this verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Friends, when life gets really difficult, it does not say, Nathan, you pointed this out earlier, it does not say if life gets difficult,
no,
does it?
No, it says when.
Why does it say when, Nathan?
Because that's life. That's living. That's
it is.
Life. And if you're born a person on this earth for any period of time, if you're here for any length of time, you're going to run into difficulty.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of life.
I love the rest of that sentence, though. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. I love the way the Message Bible says that.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you think, Carol, I'll start with you and then Nathan, don't you think that a lot of people are stuck in the mud of their own circumstances because they either think God is mad at them or they are mad at God for not having things turn out the way they want it to turn out?
Yes.
Definitely. I think a lot of people are angry at God. If you don't believe that, walk into a funeral home.
Well, true.
You know, when there's a service going on, it's interesting to sit and just observe what's taking place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The people that you personally know have accepted Christ as their Savior, and they've gone out in their ways, they've ministered, and they've done what they're supposed to be doing, emulating Jesus. Those people are at a comfort.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a peace about their heart. I think Pastor Marsha and I can represent very well a situation where that did not happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We were there. We saw the angst and
right.
the anger directed toward God.
Right.
And that was a horrifying thing to see, but I think she and I both needed to see it.
Yeah.
So we could understand that that is a real situation.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People do get mad, yes.
They do, very angry, and throwing threats to God and damning God for all of these different things, instead of saying, my loved one, by the grace of God and the association and the love with God, that commitment they've made to God through Jesus Christ, they are now sitting in heaven.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
With him. What a peaceful thing.
But a lot of people choose to major on the fact that they have a loss. And it is difficult when we lose somebody that we care about. But I love what Peter says here. When life gets really difficult, whatever that circumstance is, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a personal relationship, whatever it is, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. And Nathan, talk to me about this, because I know you're getting ready to go off the air here with us in a minute, and Carol and I are going on for another hour. So I wanted you to comment on that, because I think there's a lot of people that feel like God has abandoned them.
Well, a lot of times when things get hard, you know, we I don't know where we get the idea, but we think that once we become a Christian, we should live on easy street.
Yeah.
You know, that there's nothing can go wrong.
Right.
But when something does go wrong, we wonder where we missed it or where God missed it.
Right. Right.
You know, and most of the time we blame God.
Right. No, we do.
You know, we blame God. We say, God, why does this have to happen to me?
And
why did this have to happen to me?
Well, and Peter addresses that, and he says, instead of going off on that tangent, he said, instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. And then he says, this is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner.
Amen.
Woo! That'll preach.
Amen. And we delay that glory around the corner when we complain and moan and groan and we don't rejoice.
Well, this is true.
I think oftentimes we need to also realize that we need Christ in a way that perhaps we haven't realized before. So when something tragic or bad or difficult circumstances come, you open the cupboard and there's nothing there, the house payment's due and there's nothing there, it's when we have to really, truly, if those are the poignant moments in humans' lives when they go, uh-oh, there's a problem here and I don't know how to fix it.
Right.
Or maybe if I just fall to my knees and pray to Jesus, he'll take care of
me. Right.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
You know, he's not a call. He's not a 911 call if you don't believe that he's going to be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you call 911? Because you know that the persons on the other end of the line are sending help.
Right.
Well,
amen.
If we're going to believe that the 911 call to Jesus will bring him to us, we've also got to know he's real.
Amen.
Alive and well in our hearts and souls, and he will provide for his children.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with all of that, and I think that Peter makes this very clear. Be glad that you're in the very thick of what Christ experienced. Nathan, comment on that before we go to the station ID in a minute.
It's like this. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ went through everything that we're going through.
Amen. Yes.
And, I mean, sometimes when we're going through something, it's hard to believe that Jesus went through it.
Right.
But he did, without sin.
Right.
You know, without God and his Father.
Calling out to his Father, why me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember? On the cross, he asked that question.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
You know, would you take this cup from me?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, not my will, but thine be done.
Thy will be done.
That's
Amen.
Right. And that's what we've got to learn to say.
That's what we've got to learn to say.
Not my humanness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. But in my humanness, people do that.
Right.
I do it. People do it. Mm-hmm. We've all done it. And yet we know, those of us that are deeply involved with Christ at a level of the gifts that he's given us, we understand that we have to put out an effort first.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to admit that we need help, regardless of what it is. If it's help with finances, if it's help with health, or whatever it might be, a spiritual issue, we have to call out for help and say, you know, I've run it through my little human brain, and it doesn't populate. Perhaps I need spiritual insight.
Right, exactly. Wow, we've got a lot more to talk about here. Brother Nathan, thank you for a great day of ministry. It's been amazing. And
it's been my pleasure.
You know, when we were doing that song at the nursing home a little while ago, Angels Watching Over Me, it just reminded me so much. You know, the God is, he's right on the job. He's right here taking care of us. And angels are watching over us. The Holy Spirit, God is watching right there all the time, trying to take care of us and help us. Mm-hmm. So, Nathan, get some rest. It's been a long day, but a great day. Thank you for being on the show. And Carol and I will continue into the next hour. And station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are a global ministry. We have people that are around the globe in different places that are a part of this ministry. Some support financially. We welcome you to become a financial partner. We never say much of anything about money. God always provides, but we welcome you to plant your finances in the ministry at Beacon of Hope, because God is reaching a lot of people. And when you plant your finances, you're planting it in soil where the Word of God is what is taught. In fact, our slogan has been since we began in 2001, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. You can go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. You can also access it by beaconofhopeministries.com. But we came up with a shorter version to make it easier for people to remember. So again, it is www.bohmglobal.com. You can go to the donations part of the webpage, and you can give a donation on PayPal. It is safe and secure, and plant some seed into the Word of God and the work at Beacon of Hope. Carol, do you have anything you want to say about that before we get to our next song?
Well, it's good soil, and you know, if you're trying to farm out something or trying to grow something or trying to see the beauty in something, it's a place to make your tithe. And if you don't have a home church, or even if you do have a home church, it's a good place to put your money, because
you truly get
a benefit from it.
Amen.
So I would suggest that if anybody has anything extra they would like to do, it would certainly be a good place to put their tithe or offering.
Well, you know, and we're in our eighth year on the radio, Carol. Doesn't even seem possible. Can you believe that?
Oh, it doesn't.
We are getting ready to celebrate our 400th show in November. And all of this has been supported by people who give financially to pay for the airtime every single week. And so we invite you to become a financial partner on this radio ministry. If you want your gift, financial gift, to go towards the radio ministry, you just mark it and say that's what you want, and that's where it'll go. And it is a joy to be able to minister all these years on the air. Last week we had an amazing memorial service for Dave, who Dave and Lola have been the owners of this station for a long time. And Cedric, did we have a good time out there with that whole crowd out here in the grassy area out back?
I think everyone had a good time.
It was. What
yeah,
a feast. It was. I mean, Lola provided a lot of food. It was really good. And we had a memorial service for Dave. And it was really interesting to me to see so many people from all the different shows on this broadcast or on this station stand up and talk about Dave, but also talk about the blessing of being on the air here at Tantalk. And we appreciate Lola, and we appreciate Dave and all of the work that's gone before. And you're the best engineer in the whole world. You know that, right?
Well, I don't know about all that.
Okay. Well, you're the best one that we have, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. All right. So we enjoy doing this show every single week. I look forward to it. I mean, fantastic. I just enjoy it so much. Love our radio team. Carol, you're a part of that radio team, and you have been, I think, from the beginning or close to the beginning. There's Nathan has been from the very first show. And so it's kind of cool, isn't it, Carol, that we can get on the air and share the Word of God. It's a blessing to us.
It really is. And, you know, when you really stop and think of the impact that Dave and Lola have had on this air community.
Yes.
With all of the different programmings that they have placed on there, and the ways those programs reach out, and then the ministries that use this station as an outreach program.
Right.
Their influence travels forever.
Yeah, a long ways. Yes.
You know, they have done a really yeoman's task in being able to put the Word of God on the air for people to find.
Amen.
And to take a part in.
Absolutely. You know. And, you know, now we have the ability to go to the app, which is TuneIn Radio, and put that on your smartphone, and you have the access to listen to these shows live on that app, TuneIn Radio, and do that. And it's great reception for our show. You can also go to www.tantalk1340.com, listen live. And so we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Listen to this song by Michael W. Smith and Melinda Doolittle, Amazing Love. I love this song.
My steps were wandering, my lips were hungering, my heart was thundering for something more than all those things. My words
were crying out. My faith was dark and doubt. My life was lost without this one amazing love washing over me.
God's amazing love sees us through so much. His grace is like rain that comes down on us, sees us through these difficult problems. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12 again, if you just now are joining Living the Good Life. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you're in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. If you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and His glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. Carol, talk to me about this. Woo! Good stuff.
Well, there are times that it's difficult when you stop and get the perspective of humans and how their conversations can be so double talk, if you will.
Yeah.
But you, those of us that are involved in a ministry of any type, realize that we're going to be persecuted because
right.
we're, quote, different.
Right.
We don't walk in the world the same way other people walk in the world.
No, you're right.
We have to walk through it because that's the place we live. But we don't have to adhere to some of the practices that take place.
Right.
And some of the celebrations that take place and some things that are just downright cruel and inhumane. We try to stay above that because we know that that's not what Christ expects of us.
Right.
He expects us to be the example of Jesus to the people that see us each day and to always follow through and know that we are doing holy work. God's hand is on us, and we're doing what we've been ordained by Him to do.
Well, I agree. And just like verse 14 says in 1 Peter 4, if you're abused because of Christ, now we're not talking about abused because you've been bad, because it even goes on to say, if they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's a different matter. But if it's because you're a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. Isn't that cool? I love that.
Yes. And it speaks to, you know, if anybody serves, they should do it with the strength of God that he provides.
Right.
So many times, and I know you've seen this a multitude of times, so many times you're in a church and you're so enthusiastic about it, and you just really don't want the doors to close for the day.
Yeah, that was this morning at Beacon of Hope.
There because there's something you can do.
Right.
You know, you can straighten the bookshelf. And you, whatever it might be, you could sit and talk to that lost soul that finally has broken down and let go of whatever's bothering him and ask God to come help them. You don't want to walk away from that. And people will say, you've got to be tired. You're not tired when you're doing God's work. He sustains you with such an energy. It's amazing. Now, when you walk away, like when you drive home this evening, there will be a come down time. And there have been times in my life that I couldn't utter a sound. I would drive all the way home very silently.
Right.
My ears are working, but I couldn't speak.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think that's when we expend our energy that he's given us. He's carried us thus far. You know, it's like when people were touching the hems of the garment that Jesus wore, he could feel that sap of energy.
Right.
But when you put that time and effort that Christ asked you to do into his service with other people, that is taking away your energy, but you become recharged.
Oh, you do.
And you don't realize how exhausted you are till you are in a quiet place.
Exactly. But you know what? It's doing the work of the ministry. Let's go back to Luke 13, because this fits in very well right here. Luke 13. We were in Luke earlier, so if you are following along in your Bible, go left in your Bible and go back to the book of Luke. And let's go to Luke 13. We've talked about this story, actually, a few months back. I remember teaching it in a different gospel, but I want to talk about it because this talks about the work of the ministry, what you were just talking about, Carol, and where Jesus saw a person who was in very deep need. And I'm starting in verse 10 of Luke 13. He, meaning Jesus, was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath, and there was a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She had been afflicted with this for 18 years. Now, this is a bad situation. So whatever situation you are going through out there, dear listener, think about this one, this particular situation, and what Jesus did about it. Jesus didn't look at that woman who had been bent over. She was actually not able to even look up. She had to look at the ground. So she was bent double with the curvature of the spine, and she had to look at the ground, yet she got herself to church that morning. I find that very interesting, Carol, that she got herself there.
Some of the flimsy excuses you heard.
Oh, all the time. And here's this woman, and she is bent over at the middle, and she can only look at the ground. She gets herself there. And she's been like this for 18 years. I think some of our listeners out there would relate and say, I have had depression for 18 years, or I have been ill for 18 years, or I've been in grief for a long time, or whatever the case may be. This woman was a mess physically, but she got herself to where Jesus was. Oh, what can we say about that, Carol?
Well, he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden.
Mm-hmm.
And heavy laden certainly was a disorder like she had.
Yeah.
You know, she had heard of him evidently. We can only speculate truly, but she had heard of him.
Sure.
And knew that miracles were being performed.
Right.
And she went there with something that is truly, truly a gift. And that was the gift of hope.
Right.
And beacon of hope. She went because she had hope.
She had hope.
It's happening to other people. Surely it may happen to me.
Oh, absolutely. And when Jesus sees her, I am somewhere in about verse 12 or 13, he calls her over. And he says, woman, you're free. Now, interesting. He calls her over to where he is. So often, listening audience, no matter what mess we're in, no matter what grief we're in, no matter what sickness or illness or disease or disfigurement even that we're in, when Jesus calls you over so that he can do something and he starts prodding you to either get to church or to get to someone who can pray for you, respond to that calling, because Jesus calls her over and he says, woman, you're free. And he laid his hands on her. There is a spiritual precedent for laying hands on people and praying for their healing. And this is one of the places, there are several, where Jesus laid hands on people. This is one of them. He lays his hands on her, and suddenly, I love that word, one of my favorite words in all the world, suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. Wow. That's all I can say. If my bell was in here, I'd be ringing it right now.
And all eyes could see, and everybody there knew and heard, and they had known this woman for so very long, saw the condition that she was in. Nothing seemed to have helped her.
Right. Oh, Cedric just found my bell.
Out of the blue, her faith drove her to where he was to get there.
Oh, absolutely. And Cedric just ran in out of the control room, Carol, and brought the bell. So,
well,
I mean,
bless that young man.
I know it. And so I'm going to read that sentence again so we can use the bell. He laid his hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. Woo! Yeah! Oh, that's worth some applesauce even, Cedric, don't you think? Giving glory to God. Wow. And some of you are going to go, what is applesauce? You're going to hear it right now.
Applesauce.
Woo! There you go. Love it. Love it. Suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. She didn't stand there and go, wah, wah, wah. She started praising God, Carol. She started praising God. And that's what we need to be doing when God moves in our circumstances. Instead of trying to figure out how it happened, why it happened, just praise God in the midst of the victory, you know?
And speak it to other people.
Woo, yeah.
You know, speak it to other people so that the word becomes alive, filled with hope.
Yes, exactly.
You know, when you've been healed of something, whether it be a demonic-type spirit, a physical illness, or just a down-in-the-dumps doldrums, or whatever it might be, or loneliness.
Right.
When you have been healed from that, when you have realized that it didn't happen because you did something.
Right.
Other than perhaps pray and believe. Then it's a joyous time. It's a time to say, look, I can walk straight and tall because of the Jesus who touched me.
Amen. And we don't know anything about this woman except that she'd been bent over for 18 years. She wasn't, quote unquote, important. Maybe the city mayor or that note. Being a mayor is important, right, Carol? Absolutely.
Well, I like to think it is.
Yeah, it is. Carol's a mayor pro tem of her town. So, but you know what? She didn't have any title. You know, this is what I'm trying to say. She was just an ordinary person that God reached down and said, let me touch you. And that so applies to everybody listening today, Carol. They may feel like they're not important in their world or in their family or in their home even or in their job. And God says, I see you. You know, talk to me about that.
When you realize in your lifetime, at whatever age it takes place, whatever phase you are, that God truly does know exactly who you are.
Right.
Exactly how you're made physically, emotionally, spiritually. And realize that you are significant.
Amen.
It just takes, as a teacher I used to say, it takes one person believing in a student to give them the force that they need to become all they can become.
Absolutely. That is. I was a teacher too, and I agree with you entirely.
You know, you hear about the Army of One, the United States Army, be an Army of One.
Right.
I like to say be an Army of One with Jesus.
Amen. And this woman was just an ordinary person who had an affliction of arthritis. And, you know, arthritis is a common problem these days. And it's not just now. It's been a problem for a long time. And it is painful. And some of you out there today, maybe you have RA, which is rheumatoid arthritis, which is extremely painful, I hear. And when you suffer from something like that in your joints, I want you to know today, God knows where you are and who you are and that you need your healing. And we're going to talk more about that on the other side of this song. Carol, I picked this because I know it's one of your favorite songs by the group Sela. His eye is on the sparrow.
What do I feel? Discouraged. Do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely? In love for heaven and home. When Jesus sees
praise God. Woo, what a great version of that song, Carol.
It just makes us realize in the bird kingdom, quite often the sparrows are the least noticed. They're the
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They don't get noticed a whole lot.
I don't remember that in my biology major days, but that's good to know, you know?
They are the least noticed because they are just common.
Yeah.
They really aren't outstanding in plumage, most of them. And they're smaller than the average bird. And they just kind of flit here, there, and yon. So I think the significance being in relationship to the size of the sparrow. versus the size of God's love for us and his acknowledgement of us. That little tiny sparrow, when compared to an eagle or a buzzard or an ostrich, is the tiniest of them all.
Amen.
And yet
yeah.
God watches him Ooh. As much as he does the eagle, the
wow.
emu, the sparrows. You know, there's such a comparison there.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not the tiniest little things that don't get noticed.
But he notices, and this woman in the meeting place, you know, in Luke 13, if you're just now joining us, Luke 13, about verse 10, this woman was bent over with arthritis, curvature of the spine. She could only look down to the ground. She was noticed by Jesus. Don't you love that? I love the story.
So how many people would walk past her and never noticed?
Right. Or they probably stared at her and thought, oh, that poor thing. You know,
yeah.
But nobody went over and laid hands on her and said, let me pray for your healing.
Well, what did she do to deserve that? There was
right.
That, you know, that feeling ran, too.
Yeah.
In those time periods. Oh, she must have done something dastardly to be that way. It's a curse.
Right. And well, I love what happens next in verse 14 of Luke 13. The meeting place president, who was very spiritual and religious here, furious because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the congregation, 6 days have been defined as work days. Come on one of the six if you want to get healed. Come on one of those days. Don't come on the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath, the
yeah,
seventh
let's
day.
Let's keep it holy.
Yeah, let's make that holy. And no. And Jesus shoots back. I love this in Luke 13:15. This is in the Message Bible. You frauds, each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or your donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan, let's give credit where credit is due, where Satan has had her tied these 18 years? Whoa, I love that. Jesus told him off.
Yes, he did. And he did it to embarrass the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to call them, you know, to call them to task.
Right.
How dare you be so locked into a false knowledge here?
Right.
And how dare you?
Yeah.
And so he tried to shame them.
Yeah. And he did. You know, he embarrassed them, you know.
Sure he did. You know, don't you take your little donkey out? Don't you take your ox out and give it water? Is that not a chore? Is that not a job?
Right. You're untying. And then I love the fact that Jesus uses the word untie here, Carol, because in 1 John 3:8, it says this. And some of you that take notes, write that down. 1 John 3:8, because it says this. The Son of God came to undo or destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to show us there is a devil and to say, you know what? I am greater, Jesus meaning greater, than the devil. In fact, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The power of God, Jesus himself, is greater than anything the devil can throw at you. And listeners, you need to hear this, because it says the Son of God came for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy in the Greek there is L-U-O, which means that's pronounced luo, and it means untie and undo the works of the devil. So Jesus was demonstrating why he came to this earth, to undo and untie us from the bondage that the devil throws at us. This is profound, Carol. This is such a you know, like a glimpse behind the curtain of what Jesus was doing while he was here on earth. He was untying people. He was destroying the work of the devil. He was pointing out that sickness, disease like this is from the devil. It is not from God. If it were from God, Jesus would not have healed her. He would have said, well, you got that because God gave it to you. But that's not what happened.
That's right. You know, we don't always have to stand in bondage to whatever's holding us captive. Does
right.
that mean a sinful nature? Of course it does. Does that mean an attitude of arrogance? Of course it does. Does that mean we need to have more piety? Yes, we do. Do we need need to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of other people who are less fortunate by any means or circumstances? Yes, we do. We need to know what we, with the power of Jesus Christ living through us and the gifts that he's given us for his people, we should be utilizing those and not staying tied in bondage because somebody tells us we can't, or a spouse says, well, I'm going to leave you if you do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Or, you know, or a boss says, well, you're going to work on Sunday. I'm going to show you just what an attitude of Christianity is. You know, we're all stuck in some type of bondage. And when we realize that Jesus Christ has set us free
by
his death and his rising again, then we can live with him. We can be with him. We will be in tune with him. We will feel when he sends the Holy Spirit to move within us.
I think it's interesting. I agree with that. And I think it's interesting that Jesus points out the author of the bondage this woman was in. He says in verse 16, I'm going to read that sentence again. It says, well, I guess I have to start with verse 15. It's one long sentence. Jesus shot back, you frauds, each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties, there's the key word, your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan, there it is, right there in black and white, Jesus points out who the author of the bondage is, where Satan has had her tied these 18 years. I love it that God loves us so much, Carol, that he points out where the bondage is coming from. He doesn't say, you know what, you've been bad and, you know, you've been this or you've done that, so we're going to put this affliction on you. We're going to put arthritis on you. No way. No way. That doesn't come from God. This story really, really makes that point, Carol.
And you know, when you go to another version, because I'm using the New International.
Right.
And when you read it there in verse 16, it says, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound.
Right.
It makes it very clear. It doesn't say another name. What name does it say?
Yeah.
It says Satan. When
it,
Satan
it does.
Kept
right.
Bound. When we start out as people in bondage.
Right.
Because from the day you're born, there's somebody telling you that you can't.
Right. Exactly.
Like you were saying earlier, there's some parent or auntie or uncle or grandparent or just a neighborhood friend saying, don't cry, little boy. Don't cry, little girl.
Yeah.
You know, tough it up. Be a man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, God gives us tears. And I feel that the tears are just cleansing for the soul.
Yes, they are.
So,
I agree.
Did you know that this woman cried?
Yeah. Oh, you can imagine she probably cried all the time about this bondage she was in. You know?
Tears of joy when she's been released. What happens when we dedicate our lives to Christ? I have yet to see somebody who went to the altar in a dedication of their life to Christ, and they were truly sincere. I have yet to see them not cry.
Yeah, usually they cry.
It's a surrender.
Yeah, it's a surrender. It is.
You know, it's a surrender to everything that is behind us, everything that kept us in bondage, everything that Satan did to tie our hands, to warp our minds, to help us destroy our bodies. It's been broken.
Right.
And so we do cry. I've stood with so many people, as you have, who have just fallen into my arms after prayer, and just, it was all I could do, literally, to hold them up.
Right.
My physical strength wasn't strong enough, but my spiritual strength was able to lift them.
Because they realized that they needed what God was doing and the ministry that God was giving to them right then, at that moment.
That's right. And it's an amazing thing when you watch a human being who has been so lost in the world and who has been in such anguish in the world.
Right.
To realize on a particular service or a Sunday or a Wednesday night or a special time that God has said to them, I'm setting you free.
Amen.
I'm taking all the bondage of Satan away from you, and I'm setting you free. And they surrender into your arms.
Well, and when they do, and when you realize that they want to be free, that's the whole key right here. You don't see this woman arguing with God and with Jesus and saying, oh, no, I like being bent over like this, you know? Of course not. She wants to be free. And some of you out there in radio land, or maybe who are listening to this show at a later time on our website, when you get into agreement with your freedom and your healing, watch out, because God's going to make it happen for you. But when you sit around day after day, year after year, feeling sorry for yourself in a pit of self-pity and discouragement and, oh, why doesn't this happen? And why doesn't that happen? And, oh, God, why can't you? And feeling sorry for yourself. And really not jumping up and taking all the blessing that God has for you, including the healing of your body, your mind, your emotions, all of that. When you just wallow in the past, when you wallow in disappointment that's happened to you, when you wallow in how people have treated you or whatever, you're not going to get well. You're not going to get healed until you say, okay, I let go of all that. I forgive those I need to forgive, and I choose life. I love Psalm 119, verse 50. I think it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me and given me life. What will set you free, my friend, is the word of God. That's what this show is all about. And that's what your Bible that some of you are holding right now is all about. The word of God that sets us free. Carol, I tell you, I've got such a burden for people to realize that their answers are found right here in these pages of the word of God.
Yes, they are. And I know several people that in Florida and here in other places that are so bound by physical ailments. And I have to say that knowing them the way I do and having been around them, I just know that they have to be happy. That is their claim to fame. That is their reason for not doing anything. That is their reason for not reaching out and touching people in Christ, because I hear it all the time. My afflictions won't allow me to do that. And I tell you what, I feel like my afflictions force me to do it. They force me to step out and say, look, people.
Right.
I can do what I do because right. of the grace of Jesus
oh,
Christ.
Oh, amen. Amen. And it is time. It is so time for us to get absolutely fed up with our circumstances the way they've been. And if you are in distress, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever your situation is, God has an answer for you. There is healing for you. There is emotional healing. There is mental healing. There is physical healing for you. There is spiritual healing. You can be set free from all the junk that has really bound you up. And I love the fact that when Jesus laid hands on this woman in Luke 13, suddenly she was standing straight and tall, and she didn't stand there and ask a bunch of questions. She didn't say, what happened to me? And, oh, and did you know how bad these last 18 years have been? She didn't bellyache. It says in my Bible, and I think in yours too, in Luke 13:13, that she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God, praising God.
You know, in Luke 12, I will start about, it's the end of 28.
Okay.
Let me just read the 28th. If that is how God clothes the grass and the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, how much more will he clothe you?
Yes.
Oh, you of little faith. And do not set yourself, your heart, on what you will eat or drink, and don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things.
Right.
And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do you think during the time that woman was standing there that she was thinking, you know, golly jeepers, I sure could use a drink of water. Anybody got a fresh cup here? You know, she had the cup of water running through her, the life-giving water spirit of Jesus Christ.
I think she was so excited that Jesus noticed her. He pointed her out. It was worth her getting up and going to church that morning, wasn't it?
I believe it was. How many people miss their blessings because they don't?
All the time. That's oh, right. I was tired or I partied too much on Saturday night. Come on, people. This is life-giving blessing when you go and receive what God has for you every service. God wants you to hear the word of God.
I love it. In Florida, and I lived there for 64 and a half years, you would be at church and you're thinking, gee, I haven't seen so-and-so yet. I hope they show up. And they don't. So then this silly little goose would get on the phone and call them and say,
right,
hey, missed you. Oh, well, you know what it is. I mean, this is Florida, sunshine, beach is white.
Right.
And I said, well, what
does Or they mean? Would say it's raining.
Yeah. What does that mean to me?
Right.
You know, how did you relate going to the beach with...
Well, Carol, it's the old adage, any excuse will do.
I guess so.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of people missing out on their healing, missing out on their blessings, missing out on the teaching about how God wants what he wants for us. We're in this series. We've been in it now for about 5 or 6 weeks. I don't remember when I started it. It's called Frontline Freedom Fighters. And really, this whole stuff we're talking about today is being on the front line and being willing to fight for the freedom of yourself and for others. That if God says, why don't you go over there and pray for so-and-so and tell them that I love them, and, oh, I don't know, I don't feel like it, or
well,
what
I
if...
I can't say anything because I don't know anything, and,
right,
and I don't like that person, you know, they... I don't like the way they dress, and I don't like who they hang with, and I don't like the way they smell.
Well, the thing is, God's giving us opportunities, Carol, and we are on the front line, and we have got to be bringing freedom to the prisoners. And that's what our vision is in Isaiah 61. Jesus came to set the captives free, to bring freedom to the prisoners. I like Isaiah 51:14, and I know I quoted a lot on the show, but it fits right here. The one in chains, I love this, Isaiah 51:14, the one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. And that is for somebody out there today. Write it down, Isaiah 51:14. The one in chains. Some of us are in chains. Some of us are sick and ill, and some of us are just emotionally a wreck. The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. Isaiah 51:14, one of my favorite verses. That gives us hope. If you're in the dungeon right now, God wants to get you out of there. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people. Listen to this song.
Sing it over the body of Christ. Come home.
Praise God. I love that song by Terry McCallum. One of my favorite ones. I know it is yours too, Carol. Give us that liberty. And we get liberty when we acknowledge that we need God, that we need His touch, that we need Him to heal our bodies and heal our minds and our emotions. We get liberty when we go to God and say, come, Holy Spirit, do a fresh work in me. This lady in the meeting place that day did not say, well, I might be embarrassed if you lay hands on me and pray for me, Jesus. No, she got up from where she was and she walked up to Him. And Jesus just lays His hands on her, and suddenly she is healed, and she rises up standing straight and tall and gives glory to God. Carol, I think a lot of people miss their miracle because they're embarrassed, or they just don't want to be inconvenienced to get up and get to where the miracle's happening, or they don't want to acknowledge that they have a need, you know?
They don't want to acknowledge they have a need, and they don't want to acknowledge that there's a cure for whatever ails them.
Right. Happens
because
all the time.
You're not dumping your money into pills and tonics and
right
elixirs of all kinds. You surely can't be healed, can you?
Right, right.
I mean, is there such a thing as a healer who touches you, and all of a sudden your body's made new?
Yes.
Yes, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
From a Christian point of view, quoting from Dr. Leo Biscaglia, who's passed away, but he was a strong, strong writer of Christianity and of the human spirit and soul. It says, from the Christian point of view, true Christians represent integrated individuals who are at home on earth and with forces greater than themselves. They are eager to participate in the course of history in unity, harmony, and love. They are knowing, and they're feeling, and they're willing individuals. They're conscious of the self and its significance, because they know from where the self comes. They are capable of realizing ideals and appreciating values of love and truth and beauty. They are compelled to become what they can and ought to be, for they know that in a very special sense, they bear the image of their Creator.
Amen.
Is that not an humbling experience?
That's it, right there.
To know?
Yeah.
That when you allow God to come into your life and make the changes, that you become in His image.
Right.
And that you can represent Him to other people who were just like you before that touch, that healing touch, as this woman had for 18 years.
Right.
Can you imagine the ministry she must have had afterward?
Oh, wow. Because when you've been touched by Almighty God and you have allowed Him to heal you, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is, you got a story to tell. That's your story. You know, a lot of people, they go through life and they tell their story, but their story is just woe. Woe is me. Despair. This awful thing happened, and then that one did that, and then this person did that to me. And we need to realize that God wants to revamp our story, our life story, and it's got to come from a direction of God touched me. He healed my body. We sang that old song today, Carol. We started the service with, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise His name. That old song. Oh, it was so good. We just rocked the rafters with that. He healed my body. Woo!
He also has to heal our attitude.
Amen.
He has to heal our prejudices.
Yes, amen.
We have to take on a change of heart, because every person that we look at, whether some people want to admit it or not, every single person that lives, has ever lived on the face of the earth, is made in the image of Jesus Christ.
Right. And we've got to see what God wants us to do to impact, make an impact in their life.
That's
you
right.
know, God loves to invade our space. You know, He just loves to get down on the inside of us and change us and cause us to see that there are people around us that are hurting and need a touch from Him. Let's pray together before we come back here with some final comments. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You right now on behalf of our listeners, those that are listening live today, those that are listening at a later time on our website. Lord, we ask right now that You cause there to be such a brand new desire for You in our listeners. Lord, let them realize that they have a ministry, that they have something that they can do, that they can lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that they can minister into others' lives with the facts that you have done in them, touching them and healing them and setting them free and giving them a purpose. Lord, we just pray for our listeners that they will realize that you have a plan for each of their lives, that you have never left them or forsaken them, that you have wonderful things in store for them. Lord, we ask that you move in the lives of our people, wherever they are. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people. Draw us to Jesus. Draw us to Jesus. And Lord, that is our prayer today for our listeners. Let this word that has gone forth today settle down deep in the hearts of those who listen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Cedric, cue that one, that last one up again, because we're going to do it again in just a minute. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, I think it's time that if somebody is listening today that has a question on their mind, is Jesus speaking to me? Is he calling me? The answer is yes, he is. And if you feel that little tickle in your heart, and you think, what will people think about me? What will my friends, my spouse, my family, my children, my grandchildren, what will they think if I suddenly start proclaiming the name and the peace and the hope and the mercy and grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ? I tell you what they're going to think. They're going to think you have a listening ear and a discerning heart.
Amen.
And that you've heard the Master speak to you.
Yes.
He has a purpose for you. He has a calling on your life.
Yes.
Regardless of what other people may say or how tiny it may be. If it's just to be a neighbor to somebody, to feed somebody, to care for somebody, to love somebody that's unlovable.
Right.
Listen to that inner voice.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit speaking to you.
Yes.
Through God, Jesus.
Yes. And
take it and run with it. It's a gift.
It is.
It's a gift to you.
And realize that we're only here on this earth for a short time. And I've heard it said many times, only what's done for eternity will last. And if you can be a blessing to someone in your school, your neighborhood, your home, your workplace, your family, isn't that what life is all about? And isn't it time that we realize that the Word of God needs to get down on the inside of us in a very profound way, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to change us into His image? That's what it's about to be a Christian. And some of you out there may not even know for sure if you're saved. And Carol, let's do this prayer of salvation for any people that are out there. Carol, would you repeat after me? And if you are not sure tonight that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, pray this prayer with Carol as she's going to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That is not pleasing to you.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you to live within my heart.
And in every part of my life.
And in every part of my life.
I invite you to be my personal Lord and Savior.
I invite you to be my personal Lord and Savior.
This I pray.
This I pray.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. Wow. All right. Wow. So if that was you, if you prayed that along with Carol, I invite you to contact me personally at pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can contact Carol at prayers@bohmglobal.com, because if you have a prayer need, we want you to reach out to us, and we will have our prayer team praying for you. If you want to be on our prayer team, simply write prayers@bohmglobal.com and join the prayer team. No obligation, but we want as many people praying for the needs that come across our desks daily. And so you can be a part of that prayer team, even if you go to a different church, doesn't matter. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Cedric, let's start that song again. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your people. This has been a good show, really good show. I think they all are. But it just seems to me I pull away from the station every week, and I thank God for the opportunity to be on the air and present the Word of God week after week. Whatever your need is, dear one, we want to hear from you. If you need prayer, if you need counsel, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we have a full-time counselor, Dr. Angel Bosco. And now she's gone back to her name, and it just slipped my mind. But anyway, Dr. Angel Bosco, and you can reach her at 501-6557, and that's 727, and set an appointment, and she'll be glad to sit down with you and help you. Licensed mental health counselor with her doctorate now, her PhD, Dr. Angel Bosco. So God bless you all. Have a great week. And know that if you need to contact us, prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can contact me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Sunday morning, 10:30 is our worship service. Everyone is welcome. It's a wonderful time. Wednesday night Bible study starts at 7. We're done at 8:30. Every Wednesday night, come rain or shine, come and join us. Bring your Bible and a notebook and join us at Beacon of Hope. We're going to turn up that song and just let us, as we go off the air today, fill the airwaves. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Nathan. It's been a great show. God bless you all. Have a great week. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my radio team, Carol and Nathan. God bless you.
Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.